once again, it's good to have the opportunity of coming into your family circle with a program of Bible truth. I simply want to say that this is the final message in this current series of 8 broadcasts under the caption of Timely Topics for Troubled Times. It's all been brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ, and we trust you'll keep this in mind, realizing that these brethren have you and your entire family in mind. We emphasize from time to time that these broadcasts are not a substitution for church attendance. Even though we understand there are people who are shut in, who cannot get out to service, who may receive benefit from the proclamation of the gospel. But look upon this broadcast as a religious service. And by that we do not mean the substitution for church attendance, as we've told you, but as a spiritual assistant, a service from that standpoint that can be a benefit to you and your entire family. Now, we have been dealing with some subjects that we believe are topics that are before our mind today. And in the result of all those things that are about us that seem to war against the soul, we believe that God's Word has the answer. Think with me today on the broadcast of God's grace being associated with man's sin. You see, the grace of God has to be stronger than the sin of man. And then think of the love of God, that it must be greater than the hate that's found in the world. And heaven is going to be greater than hell, and might we say, good will be triumphant over evil. Now, a lot of times when we look about us in the world today, there may be some doubt in our mind if these things really are true. But in the final analysis, let us keep this thought in mind, that God truly will win out. Keep the thought before your mind also that God is a winner and the devil is a loser. I'm led to believe that the devil knows without any doubt that he's already lost the battle. He's trying to do everything he can to hurt God by leading you and leading me and all others that he can down his pathway, that we may eventually end up in the same place where the devil and his angels will. You know, the book says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And the only way that we would get there is if we work to get in that direction. Isn't that a terrible statement? But yet in Romans 6:23, Paul makes it plain when he says in the first part of the verse, the wages of sin is death. He follows by telling us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm saying on the broadcast today that everything is going to work out all right for God and for those who follow him. But on the other part, and the other side, regardless of how it appears today, as you look at the present circumstances, evil will not triumph over good. You see, down through the years that we have both in the Old and New Testaments, we have many cases where it did appear as though evil were going to completely triumph over good. It would seem that when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that truly their lives had been devoted to that which was evil. But I'm wondering, as I talk to you on the broadcast today, if you ever ask yourself the question, what kind of a man was Adam and what kind of a woman was Eve after they left the garden? There's a strong indication, since Adam lived for 930 years, and since such a son as Abel and also such a son as Seth were born to his household, that this man must have been a good man. It is altogether possible that Adam and Eve could have lived very good lives before God. They made a mistake in the garden. They had a tragedy in their family because one of their sons, Cain, killed his brother Abel. But you know, this indicates something, and I think we ought to keep before our mind. You can't just look at one avenue or one event in life and determine the entire course of that life. I know many times there are people who say, well, here's a family where they must not have taught the children right because they've turned away from the Lord. I don't believe you can always make that determination as you sit there and as you make it from the standpoint of observation at any one point in your life. You don't know what those lives are going to turn out to be. And after all, I am sure that Cain had the same teaching as Abel. Why did Cain turn out to be the way he was and Abel follow the course that he did? You see, there's something that must be considered here, but the point that I'm making is that if we can give our children and others the great hope of eternal life by the teaching that we instill in them, then we certainly have given them something that goes beyond the transitory scenes of life. I want to talk about that great hope. It would seem as God looks down upon man that he's found in the world, under all circumstances, there were certain people who had true hope in Almighty God. You know, in the days before the flood, when God looked down upon the earth, the Bible says in the 6th chapter of Genesis that he saw every imagination and every thought of man's heart was evil continually. And yet right in the same chapter, it says Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You see, Noah must have had a true hope in Almighty God. He didn't want to be like the rest of the world about him. So the point was that his hope had to be above the transitory things of this life. I've talked to people who say in life they hope to be a success. This means they desire to be a success, and they expect to be a success. But you see, if the only hope that we have would be in those things that are of a temporal nature, then really we don't have any hope as far as eternity itself is concerned. The Bible says in the 8th chapter of Romans that we are saved by hope. And again, Paul in the 1st Corinthian epistle in chapter 13, and the final verse of that outstanding love chapter says, "Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity." These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Faith will be turned into sight, and hope will be turned into reality, and charity will continue on even in eternity. But I'm thinking about hope. I'm wondering about the hope that was found then in the life of Noah, and the hope that was found in the life of Abraham. I was reading from that 22nd chapter of Genesis not too many weeks ago, and when I realized that God was testing the faith of Abraham by telling him, as he had reached an advanced age, to take his son, the son of promise, Isaac, to a place that God would show him to offer him as a sacrifice. Now, Abraham had had hope in God before because he left Ur of the Chaldees when he was 75. He didn't even know where he was going. But you see, he had trust and faith in God, and his hope was not diminished. In the case of offering Isaac, there must have been hope that God would raise him from the dead, even if Abraham were to take his life. For you recall, as they came to the place where Abraham and Isaac must go alone up the mountain to offer the sacrifice to God, Abraham simply had this statement to his servants: "You wait here. The lad and I will go and worship and come again unto you." What great hope one truly has in his life. You know, one of the great things that's associated with hope is the prayer that's to be found in our life. We're told that we are to ask in faith, nothing wavering, believing that if it's according to God's will, he will grant it to us. So there must be a hope found in our prayers as we talk to Almighty God. A lot of times people get hopes mixed up in life. One may be a young person and he hopes someday to make heaven. But that hope seems to fade away, that even though he expects heaven, and even though he desires it to a certain extent, he puts other things first. And what are those things? Those things may be human hope. He may think for a good position. He may think for a good companion. He may think for a happy home. And so time goes in which he places emphasis upon those temporal things, and his hope seems to be alone in things that are transitory. A man told me some years ago that one of the greatest mistakes he made in his life that just about caused him to lose all hope that he ever had was his negligence to obeying the gospel of Christ. You know, the book says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." And I often say when we're having a series of meetings in a community that we're not inviting people to obey the gospel because we're simply having a meeting. The announcement and invitation time is to come because that is the now, that is the present. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And as you listen to this broadcast today, do you really have a hope toward heaven? Do you desire to receive heaven as a home? I'm sure you do. Do you actually expect to receive heaven as a home? I hope that you do also. And when I say I hope that, I desire, and I expect you to realize this and follow the course that will take you from the scenes of life here to that eternal home. So the man said, I went through my life as a teenager. I came to the place where I selected my companion for life. And he said, I didn't make a selection upon the basis of whether the girl I was marrying had a hope in God, a hope in eternal life, was a Christian. But I was more or less attracted to her because of physical features. He said she did turn out to be a good wife. Children came to our home, and I kept putting this in the background. Someday I hope to become a Christian. It went on through the period of time that the children were raised and came to the time where the responsibility of assisting as grandparents with the grandchildren became a reality. And then the time finally came when his beloved companion was taken from him. And all hope seemed to be dashed in life. How could he face the future alone? And then in the stillness of a certain night, he began thinking about his life as he lay restlessly there on his pillow. And he thought, I've let all the hopes of eternal life go down the drain in times past. He had heard the story that the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. And so in the declining years of his life, this man obeyed the gospel of Christ. His hope became renewed in heaven. But with that hope, there was always the thought, why couldn't I have done this earlier in my life? Someone read to me not too long ago a passage that is outstanding. The first verse of the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So you see, the hope indeed can come to our life early, and all the onslaught that would seek to defeat us can be cast aside with the idea that we have a hope that's strong and steadfast even beyond this life. In the Church of Christ, we place a great deal of emphasis upon the spiritual teaching. We try to emphasize that a thus saith the Lord must be the thing that will guide our life. We understand that Paul has said in Colossians 2:10 that we are complete in him. We know that it has been made plain by the Apostle Peter that the divine power of the Holy Spirit through this wonderful word hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We realize for this hope to be a reality, then it must go hand in hand with both charity and faith. Yes, faith will someday be turned into sight. But notice the Apostle John simply said in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So if our faith must go that far until the end of this life, you see, our hope must be right there with it. Do not set your sights in this life to a low level, but set your sights upon the horizon and beyond. The hope that comes from the so-called hills, even as the sun seems to burst forth on a beautiful morning, with all of its rays reaching down to the earth to warm it and to help it that it might grow and develop. So in our Christian life, Jesus came down here as a ray of light in a darkened night in a sinful generation. And he made it possible for people to realize that the light of the world was able to overcome the darkness it was all about. And souls finally obeyed the glorious gospel and were made free from sin and became true servants of Jesus Christ. Their hope was not alone for today or tomorrow, but for eternity. We want to leave this with you on the broadcast today. It's been good to be with you in this series, and I want to thank the brethren who made this series possible. We're simply proclaiming the Word of God. This is a program of the church. We hope you'll be in the house of the Lord today. The Church of Christ invites you to their services. Come and bring your family and your Bible and your entire family. And be with us next time as we deal with a new subject. It'll be based on the Word of God, that we may know the truth, that the truth will make us free.